This is Audible.
And now, part two of The Silver Spike, written by Glenn Cook and read by Jonathan Davis.
Chapter 36. It seemed like I never saw Darling do much to deserve her White Rose reputation. Maybe that was because she was so unglamorous when you saw her. Just a scruffy, tangle-haired blonde broad in her 20s who would have fit right in with the gang back at the potato ranch. Except that she would have looked a lot more worn out now because she would have been dropping kids for 10 years. Besides her being deaf and dumb, which is always hard for the rest of us to keep separate from stupid, I think it's hard to take her serious because she does what she does so easily, so casually. Take that attack on the monastery. Slicker than greased owl shit. And no one would have gotten hurt at all if that monster toad killer dog hadn't come plopping into the middle of those centaurs when he was making a run for it. And that was their damned fault. They got too eager. If they was hanging back like they were supposed to, they would have had time to get out of the way. She sure had the respect of the tree god and all the pull with him she wanted. I think he'd indulge her in anything. She don't put on no airs, neither. It was strange for a while. You had Darlin' in one spot with Silent always close, trying to stay between her and Bowman's and her and Raven at the same time, only Raven and the wizard would not get anywhere near each other because they did not trust each other any more than Silent trusted either of them. It was all kind of amusing. Because when you're in the back of a monster a couple of miles up in the air, sharing that back with a couple hundred critters that would have you for breakfast if you don't behave, you sure as shit ain't going to get away with nothing, no matter what you'd like to try. The Torque boys knew that. I knew it. Darlin' knew it. But those other three geniuses, Bowman's, Raven, and Silent, were so busy being important, plugging up the knot hole at the center of the universe, that never occurred to them. The Torques were a little nervous about me, though. I used to be guards, and they was black company. They thought I might be lugging a grudge. But I was saying the White Rose don't put on no airs, not even being the White Rose. She don't like being called anything but darling. She didn't mind when I came round trying to talk to her. Only Raven and Silent minded. I told Raven to stuff it when he objected, and I guess she gave Silent the same message. He didn't do nothing but stand around looking like he was making up his mind where to start carving when I talked to her. Mind you, these were grown men. Plenty older than me. It was Raven's fault I could talk to her at all. He had only himself to blame. It was him insisted I learn the sign language so we could communicate in situations where we couldn't talk out loud. Not that we talked much at first, Darlin' and me. Just, hi, how you doing stuff. I wasn't very good at it. She taught me more signs as we went along. She didn't come right out and say it, but I got the feeling she was starved for somebody to talk to besides Silent. She couldn't say it, with him hovering over her like he did all the time. When I started out,